and it's true that he harbored many Dixiecrat attitudes. His resegregation of the federal government, his support for anti-miscegenation laws, his antagonism toward black civil rights leaders as well as anti-lynching laws, and his notorious fondness for D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation all testify to that. But in fact, Wilson's heritage was incidental to his racism. After all, he was in no way a traditional defender of the South. He embraced Lincoln as a great leader, hardly a typical Southern attitude. Moreover, as a believer in consolidating federal power, Wilson, in his opinion on states' rights, ran counter to those who complained about the war of Northern aggression. No, Wilson's racism was modern and consistent both with the Darwinism of the age and with the Hegelianism of his decidedly Germanic education. In the state and elsewhere, Wilson can sound downright Hitlerian. He informs us, for example, that some races are simply more advanced than others. These progressive races deserve progressive systems of government, while backward races or stagnant nationalities, lacking the necessary progressive spirit, may need an authoritarian form of government. A resurgence of this vision can be found among newly minted realists in the wake of the Iraq War. This is what offended him so mightily about the post-Civil War Reconstruction. He would never forgive the attempt to install an inferior race in a position superior to Southern Aryans. Wilson was also a forthright defender of eugenics. As governor of New Jersey, a year before he was sworn in as president, he signed legislation that created, among other things, the Board of Examiners of Feeble-Minded, Epileptics, and Other Defectives. Under the law, the state could determine when procreation is inadvisable for criminals, prisoners, and children living in poorhouses. Other defectives was a fairly open category. But Wilson was merely picking up where Teddy Roosevelt left off. The bull moose, recently rediscovered by liberal Republicans and centrist liberals, regularly decried race suicide and supported those brave souls who were battling to beat back the tide of mongrelization, although on a personal level, Roosevelt was far less of a racist than Wilson. Roosevelt, like Wilson, was merely demonstrating the attitudes that made him so popular among modern progressive intellectuals. In The Promise of American Life, Herbert Croly speculated that a really regenerated state government would take steps to prevent crime and insanity by regulating who could marry and procreate. Such an empowered state, he wrote archly, might conceivably reach the conclusion that the enforced celibacy of hereditary criminals and incipient lunatics would make for individual and social improvement even more than would a maximum passenger fare on the railroads of 2 cents a mile. The state, he insisted, must interfere on behalf of the really fittest.